This is All About Living with Carol Colby. All About Living is brought to you by Gunderson Funeral Home Cremation Care, Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, Home Health United, The Medicine Shop Monona, Independent Living. All About Living with Carol Colby.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome again to All About Living. It seems kind of a relief not to have a Badger game today. I think I'm still exhausted from the last 2 weeks. I have to tell you that, I had been at the Rose Bowl game in 1994, the first time we won. The fact that I lived through that is amazing. The last 22 seconds when UCLA was throwing, had four chances to throw that ball from the 20-yard line, I was under my seat, lying underneath because I couldn't watch it. And, of course, they ran out of time. And watching the Ohio State game a couple of weeks ago, being at the game, and then, of course, Iowa last week reminded me of that 1994 Rose Bowl so much. Around our house, it was kind of a joke now that for the Ohio State game, we had some people in from out of town, some friends from Door County, and we were having brats, and everybody was rushing, and there were a lot of people in town, and we were concerned about getting through the traffic and parked and getting in our seats for the kickoff. And my husband said, "Oh, well, you know, if we're not there for the first few seconds, it's not going to make any difference." And of course, if you weren't there for the first 12 seconds, you would have actually missed the first 7 points of the Ohio State game. And so then the Iowa game, if you weren't there for the last 5 seconds, you would have missed the countdown where we actually won by 1 point. So from now on, nobody in our household or anybody says, well, it doesn't matter whether you're there for the beginning or the end. We know now it does. So it's been an exciting time, and we hope that the Badgers are getting a good week of rest and becoming injury-free during the process, and we'll be ready to win next week. I think they play Purdue, at Purdue. So we wish them well. It's always exciting when our football team wins. Speaking of my husband, I have to do a little bit of promo here. And next weekend, on November 6th and 7th, there is a Fall Festival of Art at Bishop's Bay Country Club. This is open to the public, and this is all local artists who have original art. He happens to be one of them with his beautiful fused glass pieces. But there is acrylic and wood turning and watercolor. It's really quite a beautiful array of local artists showing off some of their artistic works. And you are all welcome to come. Bishop's Bay, you know, is in Middleton on County Trunk M. And it's from 1 to 6 on Saturday and 11 to 4 on Sunday. So we invite you all. Also, one other thing on your calendar, I hope it's on your calendar, in capital letters, underlined in bold, vote on Tuesday. I think we're all going to be relieved that the election is over and some sanity can come back into our lives. It's an important time for our state and our country, and I'm hoping that all of you are doing the best you can to be informed on all of the issues. I am just still shocked at some of the things that come over the internet that has so much misinformation. And there are sites available that you can find out what the actual issues are and where people stand and the things that you need to question and be concerned about so you can determine where you fit on this spectrum of opinion. So do seek out the correct information. The Wisconsin State Journal had it in an editorial last week, and I'm not sure which position they were taking on which particular issue, but what they did say at the bottom of it was, please be informed, and then, of course, vote. And because we do so many programs on health issues here, I've been following a great deal, and you've been hearing programs on health care, and I invite you to go to healthcare.gov, to get a really accurate overview of the healthcare reform legislation, if understanding that legislation plays into your decision-making at all. There's another website that I have found valuable for us here in the state of Wisconsin, healthcarereform.wisconsin.gov, and that shows what the state of Wisconsin is doing in the area of healthcare and how it fits in with the national legislation and our federal government programs and overview of healthcare. So those two websites may be helpful to you in determining a greater understanding of the accuracy of healthcare as it exists in the legislation that's been passed and in what the future, the vision for healthcare will be. Now, speaking of healthcare, it's a perfect segue into our program today. I am pleased to have with me three very knowledgeable people in the area of caregiving. On Wednesday, November 10th, at the Covenant Presbyterian Church on Seagull Road in Madison, there will be the annual Caregiver Forum. This is an annual event sponsored by the Dane County Caregiver Alliance, and the list of participants is two columns long. It's anybody and everybody, agencies who are involved in any element of caregiving in Dane County. They're all very knowledgeable people. They're wonderful resources for you if you have a need. And we're going to talk about caregiving today with our guests. These people will all be participants in this workshop, and you are invited to attend. This is a workshop for people involved with caregiving. So many of caregivers are people like you and me, just family members whose role evolves into caregiving because of the illness of someone in the family. So it's for you to learn more about it, to realize there are support systems out there, there are resources available to make the process certainly not one that you feel is only yours and yours alone, but you're part of a network of people experiencing many of the same things. And together, people coming together and sharing their knowledge and experiences can make the whole procedure and process easier and for you. So with that said, the Caregiver Forum, Wednesday, November 10th, mark it down on your calendar. I'll give you contact information during the program. And also, if you go to carolcobyradio.com, this program will be posted on that site, carolcoby, K-O-B-Y, radio.com, early in the week, certainly by the end of the day on Monday, and you'll have the contact information there. Joining me today is Marilyn Lawler. Marilyn is Director of Community Education for Independent Living. Also here is Margot Bells, who is Caregiver Support Coordinator at Hospice Care, Inc. And last but not least, Pat Wilson, who is a family support specialist at the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin. Welcome, all of you, to All About Living. Let me start with you, Marilyn, because let's set the scene on who is a caregiver and some of the roles that caregivers find themselves in. I suspect that they don't even know sometimes that they are caregivers. It's something that just naturally evolves in their own home environment, and they think, well, this is what life is at this point, and they don't know that they're caregivers. So how would you define a caregiver?
A family caregiver, these are unpaid people that are family members who are monitoring a loved one. It can be a parent, a spouse, a child that's older. We have some 80-plus-year-olds caring for their 60-year-olds. But it's just monitoring them either in their home, in assisted living, or even a nursing home. And in the home, it could be anything from checking in on them because they're worried about their loved one living alone, taking food to them because their nutrition is not very good at this point. Maybe they need rides to medical appointments. Maybe they have to be accompanied to medical appointments. It's just about anything that you do for anybody else, all the way down to full-time care of that person, physical care, or monitoring, like with dementia. There's about 44 million caregivers in the United States. 60% of those are women.
And they're unpaid.
And they're unpaid, and 60% of them are also employed. So they're juggling their caregiving role with their older family member as well as their work life. And in Dane County alone, Carol, there's 42,000 family caregivers. And speaking of Camp Randall, that's half of Camp Randall filled up.
Wow.
So that's very There's quite a few family caregivers.
And not everybody lives right near the person that needs care.
Correct.
So they're dealing with it long distance, which can be even sometimes a greater stress.
That's correct.
Because you're not sure what's happening, and then you might feel guilty that you're not there, and yet you're trying to juggle your own life.
And many of the agencies with the Caregiver Alliance, for all of us are members of that sitting around the table today, we do have information about other counties in Wisconsin as well as national resources that you can go to a website called eldercare.gov or eldercare.org, and you can click on the state or the county that you're interested in finding resources. Dane County happens to be very rich in family resources so that you don't have to do this caregiving journey on your own.
So. Pat Wilson with the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin, you have had the personal experience of being a caregiver for someone with Alzheimer's disease, so you know firsthand the uniqueness of that role of a caregiver. And how does that differ, or what does it look like and feel like for a caregiver of someone with dementia versus someone who can mentally participate in explaining to you what your needs are?
Well, as the disease progresses, it becomes more difficult because, again, the person many times loses the ability to communicate and tell you what's happening and how they're feeling, and many times they can't even recognize the pain. And so it becomes very frustrating for the caregiver as they try to figure out what is happening to the person. And it's really important for caregivers to become educated on what's happening to the person with dementia, that the disease changes the person and it's something that they cannot control. And because of the changes, then the caregiver needs to change too, because our responsibilities become more, and we need to become educated on how to support the person. Because with the cognitive disability that happens for a person with dementia, then their ability to communicate what their needs are, and if we're not supporting them in a proper manner, such as being patient with them, waiting for them to answer our questions or to tell us what they want, then we can frustrate them more, overwhelm them, agitate them, which makes their cognitive disabilities even worse.
And you can't take personally what's going on in the relationship as they change, and they may become ruffled or confused. Then you can think, what's my fault, and I'm not doing something right. And so it gets to be a real complex situation, physically and mentally, for the caregiver.
Definitely, it does. I know with caregiving for my dad, many times I would leave my job and go over to his place, and if I did not leave my cares and worries and my problems at work and what was going on outside his door as I walked in, if I didn't have a smile on my face, then he right away was reading my body language and would start becoming agitated and irritated just because, again, of how I was acting and that.
We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, I want to turn to you, Margo, for the very specific issues related to a life-threatening illness. And when the end of life seems apparently near, the issues of caregiving and making decisions and family dynamics come into play so strongly. So we will look forward to hearing from Margo after we take this break. This segment of our program here on All About Living has been brought to you by the medicine shop Monona, caring beyond prescriptions, and Independent Living, your connection to an independent life. I'm Carol Colby, and we'll be right back with our program on caregiving after these messages.
This is All About Living with Carol Colby, Madison 1670, WTDY.
And we're back with our program. This segment is brought to you by Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, the Life Celebration Center, and Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, where expertise with compassion is powerful medicine. We're talking about caregiving today, the Empowered Caregiving Forum is going to take place Wednesday, November 10th at Covenant Presbyterian Church here in Madison. It is from 8:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. It is open to all of us who are caregivers. family caregivers, unpaid caregivers. It brings people together to talk about the many and complex issues that surround caregiving. If you want information about it, about attending, you can call 261-5679, 261-5679, or email culbertson@county.dane.wi.us. Now, that's a long email address, and you might not get all of that down, but that's C-U-L-B-E-R-T-S-O-N at co.dane.wi.us. But basically call 261-5679 or go to carolcobyradio.com, Carol Coby, K-O-B-Y, radio.com. I will have all of this posted on that site after the at the beginning of the week. So we have talked with Marilyn Lawler, who's Director of Community Education at Independent Living, and Pat Wilson, who is with the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin and is in family support services there. And Margot Bells is also here, and she's Caregiver Support Coordinator at Hospice Care, Inc., here in Madison. And Margot, there are special dynamics to caregiving at the end of life, when there's a life-threatening illness that an individual is confronted with, and when family members get involved in the decision-making and the care of that individual. And what are some of the things that you encounter?
What we often see once a person has been diagnosed with a life-limiting illness, of course, is the with all caregiving, there's a level of emotion that is involved with your caregiving. But when somebody is facing end of life and the family is helping them cope with that, there's a whole other level of emotional interactions that occur. And quite often, the person with the illness, if they haven't made their wishes known in advance, if they haven't done the very important step of identifying, doing the advance directives and the living will, so that their family knows what their wishes are, that can create unhappy family dynamics, potentially.
And everybody has a different opinion, or possibly, potentially having a different opinion. That doesn't mean that one person is right or one person is wrong, and one person is being nasty and difficult to get along with.
Absolutely, absolutely. People have different wishes at end of life. People have different perspectives on what end of life means, what they want their end of life to look like. And very often when families come together, they, of course, want to share those perspectives. At Hospice Care, we can help facilitate those discussions with families because sometimes it's I don't know about your family, but in my family, sometimes it's hard to be heard because everybody has an opinion, and we can help facilitate those discussions, keeping the person who is the patient the focus of the discussion, and trying to be certain that we are hearing from that person, if at all possible, what their wishes and what their desires are.
You keep saying the word discussion, and this is really the critical component, mm-hmm. from what I understand. It's one thing to have the paperwork in order, because you need to have that legally at the moment if the person can't speak for themselves. The advance directives, the healthcare power of attorney, the financial power of attorney. But without the discussion, and people can have this way far in advance. On this program, I always promote that if you're 18 years of age or older, you need to have advance directives in place, because you never know when something might happen. And once you're 18, you're considered an adult, and nobody else can come in and make those decisions just because they're your parent or something. You need to really have it spelled out.
And it really is all about discussion, because having the paperwork in advance is important, but you really don't know what it's going to be like until you're going through it. And you don't know what questions you might have. You don't know what issues. You don't know how you might change your mind. And families, this isn't something that a lot of families talk about, end of life. And so when families do come together, we learn things about each other. You know, we learn you want everything possible done at end of life. And we learn that your brother, you know, wants, you know, a natural death with no tubes and so on. We may not know that about each other until we are all, you know, sitting around a table or sitting in a room having that discussion.
There are even things that aren't involved with the care, but just the comfort that somebody has favorite music that they would love mm-hmm. to have played. If they, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm ever in bed and I can't get out and I'm really, really ill, I would like to hear, you know, mm-hmm. some Frank Sinatra or Elvis Presley singing, you know, gospel songs or mm-hmm. something like that. And we can tell our families so much. Mm-hmm. And we have that opportunity if we have these discussions up front.
That's right. And the other thing that if a person chooses hospice, you know, at the end of their life, the support system that we can bring to the person who has been the caregiver, you know, in terms of the personal cares, in terms of the nursing care, in terms of, you know, helping with light housework and chores around the house, can help that caregiver then be the wife or the husband or the daughter, as opposed to attending to the personal cares, and then be able to spend that quality time with the person who is at end of life.
And speaking about that, hospice care, it's a Medicare benefit if you're on Medicare. Explain that benefit, and many insurance programs or insurance plans also incorporate hospice care as a benefit.
That is true. The hospice Medicare benefit is a very generous benefit that a lot of people are unaware of. And so if you are Medicare eligible, and if you are somebody you know is looking or facing a life-limiting illness, it is very beneficial for you to pick up the phone and give us a call and just learn more about it. We provide in-home care. About 90% of the work that we do with our patients is done in-home. We know that most people, if they have the choice, prefer to die at home. And with hospice care support and assistance, we can help make that happen a lot of the time.
Marilyn, at Independent Living, you look at all kinds of resources and trying to give support to families in caregiving and the cost. I mean, now, Margo just explained that there is this hospice benefit right. if it's really near the end of life. But how do people manage the cost? Is this getting to be a greater challenge in caregiving?
Well, what I'm seeing throughout Dane County is that family caregivers are starting to bring their older adult into their own homes to care for them there. Assisted livings in Dane County can go anywhere from $3,000 to $7,000, $8,000, $9,000. If it's a dementia-related, it's higher.
A month.
Nursing home care, my latest checking out one facility is $125,000 a year. Many people cannot afford that, and they try it, and then they end up bringing them into their home. And many of these people are working, and it's very, very difficult to have that. So Independent Living has some respite services that we can offer people so that they don't have to take on the full burden themselves and they can do it in their home. We even do some respite services in an assisted living.
Explain respite services.
Okay, respite services, giving the caregiver a break, if you will, or time away to do some things to take care of themselves. The research is showing that the family caregivers, the average length of time of family caregiving is about 4.3 years. So if you think of the stress for that period of time, the research is showing that people are getting depressed, they're getting diabetes, they're getting hypertension, they're getting sick themselves.
These are the caregivers.
These are the caregivers. So you really need to pay attention to you as a person, you as a caregiver, and respite is a service that you can get from volunteers, from other family members, from agencies such as members of the Caregiver Alliance. I know hospice has a respite program in theirs too. So I think what I'd really like to point out, Carol, is just don't try to do family caregiving alone. especially when you're finding yourself get tense, draw upon others in the community, whether it be a volunteer program or an agency such as Independent Living. It really is important that they get help, that family caregivers get help, because it's, you know, you're not alone. Mm-hmm. And there's many other people out there to help out.
Pat Wilson from Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin, you and I share a similar experience in that we have both been caregivers for someone with Alzheimer's disease. What was interesting to me, and my husband did pass away in 2001 as a result of his dementia, but it was, and he at the end was in a facility, and two or three of the spouses of people who were in that facility, who were the patients diagnosed with Alzheimer's, two or three spouses died. Mm-hmm. That the strain and perhaps their age and their own illnesses just escalated during that period of taking care of someone who has been diagnosed. And so the health issue is a real risk. Real risk for caregivers.
Yes, definitely. And it's really important for caregivers to, you know, find what the responsibilities are and to figure out who can maybe help them with some of those responsibilities. So it's looking at your family, at neighbors, and it's building that circle of support. And as you start the caregiving journey, at first it's slow, and then it starts building where you start taking on so many of the responsibilities. And if you aren't monitoring what's happening, all of a sudden caregivers stop doing the things that they enjoy doing. And they stop doing their hobbies, their interests, they maybe stop socializing. So by building that circle of support, bringing people in, hiring companion care agencies, or as Marilyn suggested, volunteers, then you're able to continue your life. Because if you stop doing the things you like, then that does cause a lot of caregivers to go into deep depression, and the stress of the caregiving journey, especially as it progresses, becomes even more so.
It seems to me that caregiving is going to be a bigger and bigger issue on this vision of what healthcare is going to look like in the future, because it's not going to go away. It's only going to increase with our aging demographics, our aging population, and Alzheimer's is going off the board as far as probably the biggest and the highest risk that people have of any illness as they age. I think it's, what, one in two, anybody over 85 now is diagnosed with Alzheimer's or a form of dementia. Pretty frightening. I want to talk more about this caregiving when dementia has evolved with you, Pat, but first we need to stop for a break. So we'll be back with Pat Wilson and Marilyn Lawler and Margot Bells after these messages from our sponsors. You're listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY, and we'll be right back.
This is All About Living with Carol Colby, Madison 1670 WTDY.
Welcome back to our program. This segment is brought to you by Home Health United. You got a friend right here, online at homehealthunited.org. And remember, flu season is upon us, and if you haven't received your flu shot yet, you can go to homehealthunited.org, and they have the list of locations where they are giving the flu shots. So you want to be sure to remember to do that. You don't want flu season to be here and upon you and not have your flu shot. We're talking about caregiving today. The Empowered Caregiving Annual Forum is going to be Wednesday, November 10th at the Covenant Presbyterian Church on Siegel Road in Madison. And it's an open day of looking at the many issues surrounding caregiving for anybody who is a caregiver. Right now, that's a lot of unpaid family members who are struggling to do their caregiving role while being employees and taking care of a family of their own and juggling all kinds of things that don't often fit in 7 days in a week and 24 hours in a day. You almost need more time to do so. Some of the areas that will be discussed at the caregiving forum are respite care, what it is, and where to find it. Also, other assistance programs if you are a caregiver. And then there will be a panel discussion on family dynamics when all the family members are all together trying to come to some kind of consensus of
what to do and what the next step is going to be. Probably one of the most challenging aspects of all of caregiving. Pat Wilson is here from the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin. And Pat, before the break, we were talking about dementia and caregiving and what an increasing health risk that is for the caregiver dealing with the issues of dementia. And dementia is on the rise and doesn't look like it's going to slow down anytime soon. There's no cure yet. There's no really effective treatment once it, you know, becomes a full-blown issue. What are the resources for caregivers of those who are dealing with Alzheimer's or dementia in their family?
Definitely the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin is a great resource. We offer education and support to family members, to the people with memory loss, and also do professional training for the staff that support people in the community resources, in the community facilities. And we have education programs. We have an ABC series that there'll be a session on November 1st, Monday, from 6 p.m. to 8:15 p.m. It'll be the second session. And that's to help the families educate themselves on how to care for a person with dementia. It takes them through the communication and the activities that are important, because it's very important to keep a person busy. And then we do have a legal and financial seminar that we offer throughout the nine counties that we serve. And there is one on Tuesday, November 9th and the 16th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Middleton Senior Center. And we have a family education monthly program that's the second Monday of every month that talks again about communications, behavior, getting started. And we have support groups that we offer throughout our counties. And it's important for caregivers to be able to talk about the journey and what's happening and to share with other people and to problem solve. And the support groups are a great communication tool where they can also learn how, you know, different strategies and mm-hmm. tips. And
what works, you know, in the real world, you can get all of the academic knowledge, you know, that you want from a book, but sometimes somebody's tip from the real world of what worked for them just is reinforcing. Right. And gives you a really good idea. It's interesting that there are support groups for people who've been diagnosed with dementia or Alzheimer's. This has not always been the case.
Yes, and we do have a Crossing Bridges program that's for people that are early diagnosed, and we offer that about 3 to 4 times a year, and it's a program for the person with memory loss and also the care partner. And then after they complete that program, then they're able to come to a Learning Among Friends support group, which meets the fourth Tuesday of each month.
Wow. What are some of the just basic tips you went through with your father? He had Alzheimer's disease, and you and your siblings cared for him in his home,
right,
which had to be a real challenge and a scheduling. Somebody was very organized in keeping that going besides knowing what specifically to do. What are some of the tips that you could just pass along if somebody is listening now and they have a family member who has been diagnosed or they suspect might have a form of dementia?
Well, the important thing is to become educated on the disease, to know how the disease is affecting the person. And as I mentioned earlier, it's something that is out of the person's control. And so for the caregivers to know what to expect and that the disease changes the person, that their forgetfulness and their language abilities change and their ability to understand complex thoughts. And because of that, as the disease progresses, the caregiver needs to take over more responsibilities. So it's important to learn how to be patient if you're not patient, learn how to laugh, and learn how to support the person, learn how to read the person's body language, their facial expressions.
And what if you get angry or frustrated, which I think, from what I understand, is often a common emotion of people dealing with, particularly caregiving with somebody who has dementia?
Something I went through, there are many times I would get angry, and many times I would yell at my dad, and I would always tell myself, I'll get better next time, I can handle this. But what I did learn is that I would try to hold it in, I would count to 10, I would handle it as beautifully as I could when he was there with me, and then I would escape into another room and maybe yell and scream, hit a pillow. And I also would call family members and friends. And the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance, we have a helpline that people can call, and we're there to listen, because it's important to not take it out on the person.
How would people reach you?
They can call 608-232-3400 or our helpline, which is 1-888-308-6251.
Okay, I can put those on the website, too. Margot Bells, Hospice Care, talking about this anger and frustration, do you have to deal with the emotions, the varying emotions of caregivers, because they're so scared and they're almost beginning their grieving when it's the end of life kind of an issue?
Absolutely. I would say a lot of what I do in my caregiver work at Hospice Care is working with caregivers and helping them sort through their emotions and be able to express what's going on and just have somebody to talk to.
I think that people sometimes feel that they're the only ones who get angry, and they live with this guilt, mm-hmm. and it's a great burden and stress and a health risk for them.
That's very true. And one of the groups that I do at Hospice Care is actually one that is called After the Caregiving Ends. So it's a group for people whose caregiving journey has ended. The person that they're caring for has died. And what I hear, a very common theme with former caregivers, is what Pat was referring to in terms of guilt. I lost my temper. I yelled. I was impatient. I was not the perfect caregiver.
Mm-hmm. And with family members, I've seen instances where they have difficulties with each other. There's a lot of anger, a lot of things said that, you know, can't really be taken back, and they never come together again quite like the family that they once were.
With some families, that's true. And with other families, we do see a coming together. We sometimes are able to help facilitate a coming together or a healing with families. But with some families, there absolutely can be a breakdown in the relationship, and it's never quite the same again.
So planning and having as much in place as possible so there aren't all kinds of questions mm-hmm. being raised helps that dynamic.
Yes, and then also, as Pat and Marilyn have both said, reaching out for help. Mm-hmm. Caregivers, for some reason, it is that first step of asking for help, or that step of asking for help is so very, very difficult. For some reason, we think we need to be able to do it on our own, and there is support there. You know, there's support for the personal cares, there's support for the emotional stress, you know, that you're going through, and recognizing that you don't have to do it alone, that there is support out there.
How would people find out about support that you offer through Hospice Care?
They can call our Hospice Care main number, that's 608-276-4660. And if they are caring for somebody who they have just learned that they have a life-limiting illness, or they are anticipating that is the path that they are on, they can ask to speak with somebody in our referral center, and we can work with them and with the patient's doctor, the person's doctor, and just figure out where that person is in their disease progression and where you are at as a caregiver, and figure out if there is support that Hospice Care is able to offer them.
I do notice in some of your advertising there are billboards. It's never too early to call Hospice.
Never too soon to call Hospice Care. One of the things that I hear, and we all hear most often at Hospice Care, is we wish we had called you sooner. And people, to be eligible for hospice care, you do have to have a life-limiting illness, a prognosis of 6 months or less. But the sooner that you can call us, you know, in that six-month journey, and even before the prognosis. It's all about planning. It's all about being prepared. It's all about knowing what your options are. And then when the time is appropriate, as Pat said, you are educated, you are knowledgeable, you know the next step.
You feel more in control and more empowered. That's what empowerment is all about.
Exactly.
Also, I think there are some really nice stories of people graduate from hospice.
They do. They do. And simply because you've been given that life-limiting diagnosis does not mean, you know, that that is necessarily what's going to happen. Doctors do their best. They don't have a crystal ball. And
just sometimes the care that you receive in hospice, that palliative care, it does something that re-energizes the person and the chemistry starts to work in their favor or whatever. Lots of mysteries yet to medical care. It is the practice of medicine.
That is true.
Yeah, so it's always the happy stories like that are wonderful. We're going to stop for a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the employer's role in all of this. Are they getting it, coming to the table and understanding the strain that caregiving is on many of their employees? And are they there to be part of the solution? You're listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. I'm Carol Colby, and we'll be right back after these messages.
This is All About Living with Carol Colby, Madison 1670 WTDY.
And we're back with our program. If you are a caregiver, you're going to want to become an empowered caregiver, and you can find out how to do that at the Caregiver Forum Wednesday, November 10th at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Madison, and this is sponsored by the Dane County Caregiver Alliance. We're doing a little sampler of what that program is going to be about that day. It's from 8:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. It's $10 to register for it, and that includes a continental breakfast and lunch. So it's a lot of information and the food to go along with it to keep you so you're full and energized and not fading off because you're hungry. So that is Wednesday, November 10th, the Caregiver Forum. And here is joining us on this program is Marilyn Lawler with Director of Community Education for Independent Living, Pat Wilson, who is the Family Support Specialist at the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin, and Margo Bells, who is Caregiver Support Coordinator at Hospice Care, Inc. Each one of these organizations has a different aspect of caregiving that they can add to the discussion. Marilyn, I would like to turn to you. Pat and Margo were talking about calling and the dealing with the specific issues relating to end of life and dementia. But anybody that needs caregiving, it doesn't have to be all or nothing that somebody has to go into a facility or you get round-the-clock care, but just some additional support can be helpful.
Well, at Independent Living, we work daily with family caregivers looking for resources to kind of relieve them. As our population is aging, more women are working. Our economy isn't the best right now. Boomers are working past retirement, so I get calls daily looking for resources for people who might be in need of some assistance in the home in order for them to be safe. Independent Living can provide resources such as housekeeping or even deliver a meal in the evening, so to take that burden off the family caregiver. The other thing I'm getting a lot of, Carol, is calls from people who are at work, kind of in a crisis mode, trying to figure out what to do with their loved one. And myself and Claire Culbertson from the Area Agency on Aging through the Dane County Caregiver Alliance, we do education for employed caregivers on site in local businesses. We talk about all of the issues facing family caregivers. We help people identify that they are a family caregiver, as well as spend a good amount of time on what resources are out in Dane County or in the state or nationally if there's distance caregiving. So many people call asking for help with their loved one at home, and we do have resources through the Caregiver Alliance and through Independent Living.
Employment. Employers, businesses, they're realizing more and more that their employees are also caregivers, and a growing number of them are.
Right.
What are they doing? They're inviting you in or allowing you to come in and give programs, but what are they doing to be part of the solution or trying to handle it and make it easier for a caregiver to juggle all these roles?
Well, we're really excited. For 2011, Independent Living has received a grant through Fund for Women to work, for me to work at least half time with area businesses to help them identify who their caregivers are, how big is their issue in their business. But what we do when we work with employers, we ask them to develop a resource library for their people, have a list of resources available. Many of the Dane County Caregiver Alliance members, there are 28 agencies that are a part of that. I think it might even be up to 30. We help the employers realize that it is a cost to them. I mean, it's a big cost to them, because not only just with lost productivity, being absent from work, but also they're doing research on work time. They're getting sick, so they're using their healthcare dollars.
Is this becoming a human resource issue? We're looking a little bit of creativity and out-of-the-box thinking in the employee setting?
Yeah, human resource and employee assistance programs, mm-hmm. and also wellness programs. Many people who are in a family caregiving situation, we encourage to take part in their company's wellness program to take care of themselves first.
You know, one of the aspects, you mentioned wellness, and as people caregive for their parents, perhaps, or spouses, and see these health issues that they're dealing with, more and more there are things we're learning about prevention, mm-hmm. and what we choose to do in our daily lives, our behaviors and lifestyle choices, mm-hmm. that make a big difference on our own health and wellness. And perhaps we want to start incorporating more and more of those prevention elements into our own lives, mm-hmm. because otherwise, we're never going to be able to pay for health care. You know, I don't care if it's, you know, legislation or not legislation or whatever. We've got to stop it more up front. We can't wait until we need the heroics at the end to deal with the illness.
Right.
And so perhaps more prevention and wellness will come out of this whole movement. Before we come to the end of the program, let me ask all three of you quickly. As we look into healthcare in the future and the growing need for caregiving, and we've got, you know, we're talking volunteers, family members, they're juggling all their roles. Realistically, something's going to break down the line. What do we need as far as caregiving is concerned to look at it as a real business or a part of healthcare and the needs of our community in the future? Margo, do you have any thoughts? I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but.
I think what we're doing today is helping to raise awareness about caregiving and about the issue of caregiving in America. As Marilyn referenced at the beginning of the program, it is a huge issue, but the awareness of it isn't there yet. And without unpaid family caregivers, our healthcare and our social systems, social service systems, just will not be able to handle the aging population. And so I think awareness and resources.
Thank you. You're going to have to be the last word for all three of you. I want to thank you, Margo Bells, and Marilyn Lawler, Patricia Wilson, and discussing caregiving today. Remember, Empowered Caregiving Forum, Wednesday, November 10th at the Covenant Presbyterian Church in Madison. Carol Kobe, KOBYradio.com. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And I'll go out and have a great rest of the weekend.